From the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we would like to wish all our listeners and their families a safe and a very enjoyable holiday, as this is referred to as Easter Sunday. However, in the Churches of Christ, we do not find where we're to set up a religious holy day called Easter Sunday. What we do find is that we are to observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, as the early church did in Acts 20, verse 7. And in doing so, we're going to remember the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's every Sunday that we need to do that, not just set aside one particular Sunday, which is not found in the Scriptures. So we want to stay with the Bible. Now, last Lord's Day, we began a very important study of 1 Thessalonians 5:21, to prove all things. We dealt with that last Sunday, but also things that we're to turn loose of. Now, to finish out the verse here of 1 Thessalonians 21, not only prove all things, but notice the latter part. Hold fast that which is good. And that is our study for this morning. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes, to PFE, and we all should know that stands for Preparing for Eternity, the most important thing we could do in our life. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, yes, here in Martinsville, as we come together in our Bible classes. Of course, we're studying the Word of God. And then as we assemble together in the worship service, we're striving to do so in accordance to the New Testament pattern. That would be in truth. But also, we need to have a proper attitude, thus that would be in spirit, John 4:24. I can assure you that you will receive a very warm welcome. We are a friendly congregation. Now, something else to mention. If you would like to have a Bible study, we would look forward to that opportunity, and just let us know when it's convenient. We will be glad to set that up. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. And let me mention again, we're keeping a number of folks in our prayers that are grieving over the loss of loved ones due to tornadoes and catastrophes, school shootings, and just on and on we could go. People that have lost their homes, we want to be able to assist as we have opportunity to do so. So let's keep these in our prayers, and certainly hope that better times are ahead. Let's get into our study now, as again we dealt with prove all things and things that we need to turn loose of. So let's finish out our study of 1 Thessalonians 5:21, the latter part, hold fast that which is good. So what does it mean to hold fast? Well, let's go to Acts chapter 11, verse 23, where we will find Barnabas at Antioch, and who, when he came, had seen the grace of God. Now, that's interesting to note. What did he see? Well, he saw the results of God's grace, people that obeyed the gospel and now were living the Christian life. So, we continue, was glad and exhorted them all. Now, Barnabas was an encourager. He was the son of exhortation. And so no doubt he did a very good job of exhorting them all with, now notice, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. So this word cleave is holding fast. So if you, and I don't say that you need to look this up in a Greek lexicon, but it does help sometimes to know what these Greek words mean. And this word prosmeno was translated, they would cleave. So in Thayer's lexicon, this word in the Greek means to hold fast to the grace of God received in the gospel. Yes, that's what we want to hold fast to, of course. It's by God's grace that we're able to be saved, and we need to stay with the gospel, the truth. Now, here's another verse with the same word cleave, but it's a different Greek word here. And this reads, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. So the Greek word kalalo, translated cleave, according to Thayer, means to glue. To glue together, cement, fasten together. That gives us a good concept of the word cleave, doesn't it? And also in defining hold fast. So we're to glue ourselves together to that which is good, and of course to the gospel of Christ, to the truth. Now, after distinguishing between error and truth, as we've learned the truth through obedience to the gospel, we need to live by the truth and never turn away from it, nor never turn loose of it. That's what we're saying here, to hold fast that which is good. Now, in the qualifications of elders, notice Titus 1, verse 9. Holding fast, that's what we're talking about, isn't it? The faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainslayers. So that's a qualification for an elder to be able to do that. And also the truth is something that needs to be defined here. Of course, thy word is truth. Sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth, John 17:17, as Jesus prayed. Truth is not relative, nor is it subjective, as Pilate believed. Now let's go to John 18, and you'll see what I'm talking about here with how Pilate viewed truth. As Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world, verse 36. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. What does that do to premillennialism? That's a death nail right there. Because Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. It's a spiritual kingdom, the church of Christ. Let's go on. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now the only way we're going to hear the voice of our Lord and Savior is through the gospel, through his teachings, through his doctrine in the New Testament, in the Word of God. But notice, here's Pilate's reaction. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Well, why didn't you release him? You should have if you're an honest judge. And boy, don't we need honest judges today. Well, the point is here, Pilate did not believe there was such a thing as truth. He had that idea of subjective, you know, it's just subjective, relative, can't put your finger on it. But that's not right, is it? He didn't wait for the answer to the question he asked because he believed that truth was relative and subjective, as we're saying here, but the truth is, notice, absolute and objective, as Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and here it comes, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32. Now, do we believe that? Jesus said we could know the truth, so it's absolute and objective. And again, Jesus prayed before he went to the cross, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That bears repeating, doesn't it? John 17:17. So if we do not receive the word of God, we do not have the truth. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. And if you'll notice Ephesians 4:21, the truth is in Jesus. That's right. And, of course, Ephesians 6:14, we're to gird up our loins with the truth. And Colossians 1:5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. That's right. We need to understand how important it is to know the truth and live by it and hold fast to it. Never turn loose of it. 2 Thessalonians 2:12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We don't want to be of those who believe not the truth. Certainly not. These are folks that believe a lie. We want to be of those in verse 13 that are those that are through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That's right. We can just go from verse to verse and see the importance of holding fast the truth. Now let's go to 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Notice how knowledge here is very important, to have knowledge. But we're talking about knowledge of the truth. Yes, sir. And also let's notice chapter 3, verse 15 of 1 Timothy. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, that's the church, which is the church of the living God, as the answer, that's clear the answer, isn't it? The pillar, here it is, and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. That's the importance of the church of Christ. Now, let's notice 2 Timothy here, chapter 2, verse 15, a verse we all should know. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, what? The word of truth. That's it. And verse 25, still in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, in meekness, and instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Yes. That's right. Chapter 3 now, verses 7 and 8. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do those also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. How many are in the situation of resisting the truth and even hindering it? We don't want to be like those magicians Pharaoh had. They were tricking him, but they quit after they realized they weren't able to do tricks. And those, remember the 10 plagues? Well, didn't take them long to give up, did it? Well, they should have stayed with the truth. And all of us need to stay with the truth is the point, isn't it? Now, chapter 4, verse 4, still in 2 Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. But now, let's go to verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. How many people prefer to hear a preacher tell nice stories and entertainment through his speaking ability, but how much scripture you could fill a thimble is he giving? You see, we need to long for the truth. We should expect a preacher who calls himself a gospel preacher to do just that, to preach the word. That's right. That's the charge that Paul gave Timothy by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and that's the charge to every gospel preacher today, to do just that. You preach the truth, whether it's received well or whether it's not. In season, that's when people want to hear it. Out of season is when they don't. Preach it anyway. That's right. A lot of people don't want to hear the truth. It doesn't go with what they want to hear. It's not the wokeism that so many are desiring. The truth is going to cut right through wokeism. Yes, sir, it's going to step on people's toes that are helping to promote perversion, sexual perversion. But when you love the souls of mankind, homosexuals, transgenders, transvestites, whatever a person is involved in that's sinful like this, if you love their soul, you want to get them out of it. Substantiating them in it is not going to work well on the day of judgment for either one. We've got to get out of sin in order to obey the gospel. Repentance. So this is a love for people in sin to get them out of it by preaching the truth on the fact that it is sinful what they're doing. Now, that's the way it should be understood, but people are going to start putting folks in jail because of saying the truth, aren't they? Is it already going on? Well, I could just go on and on with more scripture about the truth. The fact is, we should be very grateful and full of joy that we have found the truth and never turn loose of the truth. That's what we're talking about this morning. Hold fast that which is good. Certainly the truth is good. Now, the first divine institution was marriage. And from the beginning, God commanded the husband to what? To cleave to his wife. Genesis 2:24. Matthew 19:5. Mark 10, verse 7. Therefore, husbands and wives are to hold fast to their vows, Ecclesiastes 5:4-5, until death do us depart, as marriage is for life, Romans 7:14. We need to understand that. As members of the body of Christ, we refer to the church sometimes as the bride of the Lamb. which is Christ, of course. Revelation 19, 7 and 8. Chapter 21, verse 9. So, as members of the church, being the bride of Christ, we want to be faithful to Christ. Yes, sir. We are to cleave to the Lord our God, just as God's chosen people were to cleave to Him in the days of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 10, 20. Chapter 11, 22. Chapter 13, verse 4. Chapter 30, verse 20. You see, I wish we had time to read all of these. But that was what was to be done by the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, to cleave to the Lord, Joshua 22, 5, 23, 8, and so forth. But notice, here in Matthew, in the New Testament, chapter 26, verse 48, Judas said, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast." His purpose was to betray Christ. But we should hold fast to Christ by what? By following His will, by staying with the truth, staying with the gospel of Christ. And not only must we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that's Matthew 6:33, but we must hold fast our own righteousness as faithful members of the Lord's church. Now, Job, remember in the Old Testament the patience of Job and what all he endured? Well, in Job 27:6, he said, "My righteousness I hold fast, and I will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live." He wasn't going to violate his conscience, was he? What about us? Are we going to hold fast our righteousness? If that's what we're living by, we should not ever let it go, as Job said. Acts 20, 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul wasn't going to turn loose of preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ, even though it put him in prison. Yes, and he was eventually executed. As secular history reveals, the prison epistles, Paul was busy while he was chained to a Roman soldier. He taught people the truth. Even some of the guards obeyed the gospel. That's right. So can we say, as Paul, "Neither count my life dear unto myself," here in Acts 20, verse 24? We need to understand the importance of preparing for eternity. This life is short. We need to live it as best we can in accordance to God's will and serve God faithfully, even if it means our death. We'll have the crown of victory, Revelation 2:10. Now, with the time remaining, I want to go over some more verses in our study of holding fast that which is good. Certainly the Proverbs, we can go there and be rewarded with these nuggets. Proverbs 3:21 through 24. "My son, let not them depart from thy eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shall thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." Yes, sweet sleep. Chapter 4, verse 13. "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." That's what we've been studying today, hasn't it? Proverbs 23:23, a verse we all should know. buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. That's right. Don't sell the truth. Acts 11:23, who when he came, and it's, well, we mentioned this earlier with Barnabas, had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that would purpose of heart, in other words, determination, they would cleave unto the Lord. That's right, we need to be really determined to cleave unto the Lord, to glue ourselves fast. 14:22, still in Acts. Let's go on to the next verse. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. That's inspired tradition. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast those form of sound words. There's a pattern God has given us. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, Christ, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Chapter 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Revelation 2:25. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Chapter 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You see the importance of holding fast that which is good. Is that what we're doing, or have we turned loose? Are we unwilling to stand up for what's right? Are we caving in to wokeism and being progressive and whatever the terms you want to use? But that's getting away from the will of God, isn't it? We need to stay faithful unto God, not to the current trends in society. Have you obeyed the gospel? If not, we stand ready to assist you. You've got to hear the truth. All of us do. That's how our faith comes, Romans 10:17. Then we need to believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. That should motivate everyone. John 8:24, of course, we must do that. And that's going to motivate us to repent, to change our will, our way of thinking, and do the will of God. Hold fast the truth. Yes, and turn away from a life of sin. Luke 13:3-5. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. Having stated I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, I'm ready now to be baptized, to contact the blood of Christ that washes away my sins, coming up out of the water to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:3-6. And then the Lord will add me to his body, the true church, Acts 2:47, where I need to remain faithful, even if it means my death. And we thank you so much for listening today.